Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and tonight, the age of heroes unfolds with The Art of Healing, hosted by Kat Young. But first, greetings and welcome, Kat. How are you?
I'm great, Hercules. Thank you for asking. And you?
I'm doing phenomenally well. I'm really looking forward to your show today.
Thank you.
Your guest has not yet arrived, but you've recently written a book that I received in the post on the magical energies of trees.
Good. Glad you got it.
Yes. I intend on interviewing you about it, and I believe your guest might be here now.
Good.
Hi, is this Dr. Paula Joyce?
It is.
Welcome.
Yay.
Hi. I am on time, in the right
good
console.
Girl. I know. Perfect.
Thank you.
I'll be here if you need me.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, I'm excited.
Me too. Hercules will do an introduction of me, I believe, and then we're ready to go.
Okay. Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and today the Age of Heroes unfolds with The Art of Healing with Kat Young. Greetings and welcome, Kat.
Thank you, Hercules. And tonight I have the very fabulous Dr. Paula Joyce with us. And she was the inspirational host of a podcast called Uplift Your Life, Nourishment of the Spirit. Her show was top ranked on Voice America since 2014. And she, can you believe it? She did over 400 episodes and had a global audience of 250,000 plus people. Her last show was in August of this year, and she is ranked in the top 13 life coaches in the Dallas area, and she is a best-selling author. Now, besides being a talk show host, listen to her resume. She did her postdoctoral studies at Yale University in cognitive psychology, and she presents to national and international audiences all the time. As a director of leadership development, she has coached and trained top-level executives from leading companies. She's an internationally published bestseller and currently writing a book about her ultimate creative problem-solving process. I'm sending that to the White House when she's done. The list of companies who hire her for her resources are American Express Financial Services, Baylor University Medical Center, the Jung Society, the Irving Arts Center, Southwest Human Resources Conference, the TransEnergy Group, the University of Texas, Women in Business Leadership, and many, many others that I would take up the whole hour if I repeated them all. So lest I forget to mention, she's an accomplished artist with her own line of clothing and accessories. She also has conversations with squirrels, and we're going to discuss that a little bit later in the program. So once again, it is my honor to welcome my friend, Dr. Paula Joyce, to the Art of Healing podcast. Welcome, Dr. Paula.
Thank you so much, Kat. It's really a joy to be on your show again and to have had you on my show so many times. Our relationship means so much to me. So I'm grateful to be here.
Oh, thank you. And I'm just delighted that you would make it. I would figure that you would still be sleeping after doing 400 episodes and just leaving that bench in August. So, Paula, what enticed you to do a radio show of that? Well, it was a big show. What enticed you to do it in the first place?
Well, I had been working with a psychic named Dewan Washington, and he became my healer, my mentor, my coach, my friend, just an amazing person, and who has helped me transform my life. And at one point he said, when he was sharing with me some of the things that I didn't know about myself, he said, you know, you could be a good radio show host. And then a few years later, Voice America contacted me, and their approach was, we think you're the best kept secret, and we want to change that. And I thought, well, that might be fun. And so I decided to take the adventure and try it. I was scared. I didn't know what I was doing. I had never done radio. And I had been, you know, interviewed a couple of times on radio and television, but not like, you know, an hour long show. And so this was totally new and a challenge, and I'm so grateful I took it on because it was life-changing.
Well, it's a big deal to handle a weekly radio show with the type of guests, the star-studded guests that you had. So how did that impact your practice and the rest of your life?
Well, it really became my life to a large extent. I did sort of slow down my coaching practice because I did not have the energy and the time to do a good job with the radio show the way I wanted it to be, to help people who are in places around the world and even in the United States where they may not have the financial resources or even the people resources to get the kind of help that I was able to provide through the radio show. So it was an act of service. It was a labor of love. I really did enjoy it. I was grateful for all the amazing people I had on the show, including you, some of whom became friends like you did, others who just impacted me by their kindness, their warmth, their respect. And so it did change other aspects of my life. Like my son said to me, well, we didn't invite you to visit as much because we knew how busy you were. And so that's okay, though. You know, there's a time and a place for everything, and it was time really well spent. I have not only no regrets, but nothing but gratitude for the amazing experiences, the learning, the growth. I learned so much from doing the show and from the people who were on the show, from all the amazing work that did and that they then presented, and I had the opportunity to read their books and to hear their, you know, short version, their summary version of the key points. So my understanding of the world of healing, of the spiritual realm, of the afterlife, of health, of happiness, of abuse, of so much grew. I learned about epigenetics through the show. There was so much that I learned through my guests. And I tell people it was like getting a second PhD, only this one was really fun.
Well, yes, we'll get into all the people that you've interviewed in a little bit later in our hour together. But also I want to know, were there times that it was just crushing? Now, I ask you that because I come from the world of television, and I've worked on a lot of daily talk shows. And by the end of the week, you know, sometimes you just don't even know your own name because you've been on this treadmill all week long to churn out shows. So I understand that the work is wonderful and exciting, but it can be overwhelming. So I ask you that question. Was it ever too overwhelming?
Well, it was often exhausting. It was often overwhelming, but never too overwhelming. So friends knew not to contact me on Thursday because after the show, I was done. I went to the acupuncturist, and that was it. There was no more interaction on Thursday. That was my personal time to recover.
Sometimes
it went into the weekend. And sometimes, you know, I had to call on my guides and angels, on the love in the universe, to fill me with enough energy to even do the show Thursday morning or to write my part of the show before the show, to be well prepared for the show. I did not always have the energy, and I had to ask for it. But the thing is that I knew how to ask for it, and I was given that energy so that in years and 4.5 months, I only missed one show where I was just too sick to do the show, and I knew I would really hurt myself if I did the show. So we played an old show in that place. But that's a pretty amazing track record with only having Thanksgiving off every year because it fell on Thursday. Other than that, I was on every single week. And if I had something that I had to do on Thursday, then I had to do a pre-record in order to play a new show if I wanted a new show. But I did because I wanted to constantly create new content for my listeners. So it was a lot, but it was never too much because I was given the energy I needed to get it done. And I had been a good student all my life, so I knew how to get the job done and just put my head down and make sure I got it done. And that's what I did. And when I looked back on it, I realized it was like running a marathon for 8 1/3 years where you just kept going and didn't have time to stop and really, just really think about what I was doing, or maybe I wouldn't have done it. I just knew I needed to do it. I knew I wanted to do it. I knew it was important to reach people who needed the information, and I just soldiered ahead. I understand what that word means now, and I was grateful for the support I got from my guides and angels, from the people at Voice America, from my amazing guests, from my assistants over the years. And there were times, like sometimes I would say to you, I remember one day I had a cold. It was the first show where I met you, and Lisa was also on with you. And I said, you know, I've got a cold. I'm not feeling well. I need you to really, you know, take over and do most of the talking. I'm going to do a lot of listening. And you did. And so I had that kind of support where if I couldn't really interact in the way that I wanted to most often, but it was important to do the show, I had people like you who would step in and make it run smoothly and make it look like I was fine and everything was great.
Well, yeah. I mean, I do have some professional experience kind of knowing how to how to do that. But, you know, personally, most times people have to say, are you done? Could you be finished now talking? We'd like to get So, yeah, you got the right people on that show. And Lisa Tenzin-Dolma was calling in from England. So, yeah, it was great. And we were able to really fill in that without a problem. And but I also wanted to say, you know, yours isn't a normal talk show. Like, you know, you start and say, hey, this is my guest, question, 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 answer, answer, answer. You write a whole prelude to the show based on what you feel the energies of the show are going to be about. You bring in crystals, you bring in essential oils, you bring in angels, you bring in all the things that really wrap around the subject of what the author is going to tell you or speak about. And it's just this blissful hour of continuity and synchronicity. Always being on your show is just like a bubble bath. It is so wonderful and such an honor. So you did way more than most talk show hosts, and that, you know, that's not easy to do. That's a whole lot of writing.
Thank you. Thanks. Yeah, I became a better writer during the 8 years to writing the show every week. So there was some side benefits, but thank you. Thank you for that. It really was a labor of love. It was important to me and really helped me to grow at the same time that I was trying to set the energy. I started out as a teacher, and so I know we called it in teaching scaffolding. You have to help people prepare for what they're going to hear or read. And so if this is a subject that they know nothing about, if I can open the doors, open their minds, set the energy, set the tone, give them enough information so that when the guest comes on, it's not like, what are they talking about? This makes no sense. They already have some understanding that allows them to connect with the speaker, the guest, the author, and their content so that they are able to process the information more deeply.
Well, you had 400-plus guests in your 8 years, and many of them were big-name authors that we would recognize. How did you get to book so many of them, and can you talk about a few of them? Because, I mean, you really had the leaders of the spiritual world and more.
I did. You know, it was hard work, it was luck, and a lot of support from the spiritual realm. At some point, I realized that I thought I was trying to control the schedule, organizing things the way I wanted them. And what I realized was that was impossible because there were so many moving pieces, but it was all happening in a perfect way anyway. But initially, I made a wish list of, I went to my bookshelf and pulled off all the books that had helped change my life, that had helped me grow spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and improved my physical health. And I thought, these are the leaders who made a difference in my life, and I'd love to have them on the show to make a difference for my listeners. And of those, a number of them happened to have a new book out, or they just wanted to support my show. They remembered me from a workshop or something. And so I had a really strong start. And then I developed relationships with the publishers and the publicists, and the authors would commend me. They said, she really does a good show and a great interview. You need to send other authors to her. So that got me started, and they even told some of their colleagues, when they were publishing books, you know, contact Dr. Paula Joyce to be on her show. This will be a good opportunity for you, and she's great at interviewing. So it the word kind of spread, and I was really fortunate because by the end there were some publishers and publicists who had been with me since that first month, and that was just really a blessing to have that kind of support and continuity. You know, the first person who comes to mind was the first person on the show, who was Dr. Larry Dossey, who is an MD, and he was the first director of the NIH alternative medicine health component within the National Institute of Health in the government. And he happened to have been, which he didn't know at the time that he accepted it, but he had been accepted the invitation. He had a book out that he wanted to promote, One Mind. And he had been living in Dallas. I live in Dallas. He was also a close friend of a close friend of mine. So there was this connection that he didn't know about, but when I talked with him before the show, I helped him know what our behind-the-scenes connection was. And so and he came on a second time later in the year, and he also sent other people to me and his wife, who is a star in her own right in the nursing field. She developed the field of nurse coaching. So he started me off. He was so gracious. He was so kind. He was so supportive. He said, "You're really good at this. You're going to have a long run." And believe me, when I would hit a hard spot, I would remember his words. And he was a man who was the director of internal medicine at Medical City Hospital in Dallas. He has written numerous New York Times bestsellers. He has received many honors and has been a star, a leader in the field that has helped to open up the Western medicine to integrative medicine, to alternative medicine, to a broader way of thinking about healing and the role of an MD. So he was one who stands out in my mind. Dr. Bernie Siegel, who had been the first book, he wrote Love, Miracles, and Medicine or something like that. Several other books, but he is an MD. He's still active. He was at Yale initially, and he was highly respected. And his book helped open me up to the awareness that there was more to healing than Western medicine. And he changed my life with his book. And so he was on several times, which was really just a delight. And one of the key things that he talks about is that we need to be our own advocate. We need to not just let the doctor tell us. We need to also be involved in our own healing. And he gave people permission to do that, and he was the first person to talk about that. So those were a couple of people. Irvin Lazo, who was nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize.
Yeah.
He was on my show. He acted toward me as an equal. He was not someone who had been nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize, and he knew it all, and he was more important. He was so humble and kind, and gracious. And I will never forget his energy and his presence, what it means to be a true person of character and of influence, and to do it from the heart and as service, not for glory. And I could go on. There were many people like that. Stanley Krippner, who Dr. Stanley Krippner, who is a psychologist and among the first in that field to look at shamanism and to legitimize it and to explore the extraordinary and to bring it into legitimacy. And he too is so humble and kind, and everything that he said and did was to give for service and to help, not for personal aggrandizement. And there were so many people like that, you know, like yourself, who inspired me and showed me what it means to be a leader and not just somebody who's knowledgeable, a change agent. Stephen Schwartz, who wrote a book called The Eight Laws of Social Change, and he has incredible credentials in social justice. He marched with Martin Luther King Jr. He was in the White House, in the Kennedy White House, working for social justice in the legal department. He and he has an incredible mind and awareness of change. And he was on twice. I asked him to come on a second time because I said people are so negative. They don't have hope. And I need you to come back on the show, because when I'm in a place where I'm feeling like nothing's going to change, except we're going to go down a dark hole. You know, our leader, our president is not in a positive place, is not helping people, but hurting people and being a bully and creating chaos through lies and false information and attacking people. And there was so much despair. I said, I need you to come back on and help give my listeners hope. And he was so gracious. He said, anytime, when do you want me? I will make room in my schedule. And, you know, it just people like that. And what he said was his conclusion, the information that he shared both times, and there was a lot more depth the second time, but the information that he shared is that permanent social change does not come from the top. It does not come from the dictators. It does not come from the president. It comes from people who do something to make change. And that could be a person like Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who created a whole movement. Mahatma Gandhi, who created a movement. They created as just individuals like you and I, and they made something that helped to change the world. Mother Teresa, and he, in his book, draws examples of people whose names we don't know, but people who made a huge difference in their communities, or the person who goes to pick up their dry cleaning or goes to the grocery store and says to the clerk, how are you? It's so good to see you. How's your family? Isn't it a beautiful day? I hope you have a wonderful day. And that energy passes to the next six people. And then the next six people who each of those six people sees. And on and on and on. And that's how we change the world, not by who we think is changing the world. We are the point of change. We are the people who change the world by how we act. And he says that when 10% of the population shows compassion and makes their decisions based upon love and compassion and the well-being of all, that the world will change and we will move into a more loving, compassionate world. That's not coming from the top. That's coming from you and I, and anyone who thinks that they can't make a difference in the world. Just look at someone's face when you say, "Good morning, how are you? How's your day been? Thank you for showing me where the corn is on the shelf." Whatever. We are the ones who change the world, and we do it through kindness, love, and compassion.
Well, yeah, and Wayne Dyer used to say, the mark of a spiritual person is that you return your shopping cart to the place where it's supposed to be. So it's little things, I guess, and that was a beautiful expression of his work, and thank you for that. And I just want to add in, you were speaking about the former president, 45, not the one we have today.
Thank you. Yes, I was speaking specifically about President Trump, ex-President Trump. Yes.
Yeah, I like that term, ex-president. Paula, that was just lovely. Thank you for sharing all that and other people's work, too, and the things that touched you the most and the truth of what they had to say. And I think people just revealed their truth to you because you were so gracious and humble and so eager to learn. And so, you know, there are a lot of talk show hosts that want to jump on your lines and be smarter than you and, you know, show off their knowledge. And you never do that. You want to put the person, raise the person up, and you do that in a very graceful manner. Now, during doing your show, what were some of your biggest challenges?
It was really self-respect, learning to respect myself. I grew up with abuse. I married into an abusive relationship and lived that kind of life for a long time, for over 60 years. And by the time I was at the radio show, I was coming out of that, but the show gave me the opportunity to grow and in those areas that I needed it the most, to learn to respect myself, to learn to stand up for myself, often behind the scenes, but sometimes with a guest who was not as gracious, sometimes to feel comfortable speaking my truth, to trust my own voice, and to overcome some unhealthy patterns that I had. I was often punished for speaking my thoughts, and so I developed a pattern of freezing or of thinking everything through so many times before I was able to say it. And the pace of the radio show and over 400 interviews gave me the opportunity to develop healthy patterns and to not freeze and to not run everything through my mind 20 times because I might hurt somebody or somebody might misinterpret what I said or they might not like my opinion or my question. And I just got over that I'm not being rude, I'm not being cruel, and if they don't like my opinion, that's okay. You know, that's not a problem for me. I'm allowed to have my opinion and to express it. And so the show, there were so many episodes and so many different kinds of people who I spoke to and who were healed in to different extent, to different levels, and who spoke, whose expertise was in so many different areas, that it gave me a huge opportunity to learn to trust myself, to learn to respect myself, to learn to love myself, and to know that I had something meaningful to say, that yes, the guest did, and I did too. It didn't have to be an either or, that these people were not the people from my past who didn't want me to talk, who wanted me to be invisible, who wanted to make sure that I was only behind the scenes, the facilitator, the supporter, the invisible one, that it was okay for me to talk also, and that we could even have a conversation. And that was the direction my show went toward the end, where more often than not, it was a conversation. And it was really beautiful. And I overcame so much of the pain from my own life and developed understandings as well. There was one guest, Dr. Gus Kaufman, who was on three times, and he is a psychologist and such a kind-hearted man. And he taught me that it was okay to be aggressive sometimes, that you needed all the tools in your toolbox and to know when to use them, that I didn't have to be only assertive as a woman. I could also be aggressive if it was called for. And aggressive didn't have to mean cruel or nasty or screaming. There are ways to express oneself that still is kind, but also with the energy that the experience of the moment needs.
So you got some healing. You gave out a lot of healing. People were healed all over the world. Now, were you able to generate new clients from your popularity and being a big radio podcast star?
Excuse me, I did not. Not in a big way. And not in the way, because you're saying, did I many new clients. I got some. But mostly people were listening. I think there were two things going on. Mostly people who were listening were people who were not going to seek individual help, or either they didn't have the resources, financial or emotional. But they were able to get the information from the show and to use it. Now, there were some new clients who I got. The other thing that happened too is that I'm realizing now is that I use so much energy for the show that I really didn't have a lot of energy left over for new clients, for business consulting, for speaking engagements, for some of the kinds of things that I really want to do now. And in the days before COVID, when I was doing in-person workshops, I would have to really dig deep for the energy to do the workshop, because I felt it was important to do, because it was helping people and I wanted to be of service. But I really didn't have the energy, because the show and the clients who I did have took up the energy that I had. And the rest of it I needed to recover so that I could do the things that I already had commitments to. But what I am seeing is that now people are contacting me as a result of the show. They're finding my name because it's out there in a big way. And now I'm getting those people calling for coaching and for business trainings and workshops and speaking and so on. Someone contacted me about doing workshops on a new streaming service that they're developing, and they're looking for well-known coaches and speakers to do this. So it's beginning to come to me now. But one of my favorite experiences with a client as a result of the show was someone who was in I won't be very specific, I'll just say was in a culture in a country that did not respect women and who was being abused but had the financial resource to seek individual help. And I've already identified a female, when she was turning her, was kind of scanning on her Skype radio, she heard her country's name, because I always list at the beginning of the show some of the countries where there are listeners and some of the states. And just as she got to my show, she heard her country's name. And so she stopped and she listened to the show, and then she contacted me to work with me one-on-one, and we did so for a while and kept in contact for quite a while. And it was a beautiful experience where I knew the universe was connecting us. That kind of synchronicity doesn't happen by chance.
Whew, I love that. That's amazing. And I know you had listeners in Sweden and, I mean, this all over the world, Israel, and I would just hear the litany that you would run off or Matt would run off, and it was just amazing. Matt was your engineer, and I, you know, became very fond of him. He was wonderful. So all this going on, after 8 years, you decided one moment, I'm done. I'm not going to do this anymore. Tell me about that moment and how that brought you to this decision.
There were signs that it was time, and I've learned not to wait for a 2x4, but to pay attention to signs that I'm getting from the universe that it's time to move on. And so I began to pay attention, and as I began to pay attention and ask myself the question, is it time to move on? Have you done what you can do? Is it time for something else? I began to see where I was losing the excitement, because I'm somebody, we're all different. We're all here on this earth for different things, and we all have different reasons, and we all have different personalities and different experiences that resonate with us and help us feel alive. Some people like to do repetitive tasks. It's calming. It's peaceful. They love it. I go crazy. Once I master something, I'm ready to move on. And I'm not saying that I mastered, you know, the being a radio show host. I'm sure there was more learning and there were more things that I could have done. But
No, you mastered it. you set the high bar. You did that.
Oh, thank you. So, you know, I really felt like I had gotten a lot, and that it was going to be diminishing returns at this point. And then, just as I was coming to that awareness, my contract was up, and they were asking me, do you want to continue? And so it was like, do I really want to sign on for 12 more months? And I didn't. I'm someone who needs continuous challenges to push myself to grow more. I love learning and I love growing. It feeds my soul. It feeds my energy. It makes me want to get up in the morning and to do whatever it is that I'm going to do. And so it was time. As I was getting signs from the universe, as I was beginning to look inward, and then the contract being up, it was like, okay, it's all coming together. It's time. And I have all these projects and goals that were on the back burner because I was saying I didn't have the energy to do a good job with the show, my clients, and develop the projects that were meaningful to me. So I needed to make room, and that finally made. With sadness, of course, because, you know, there's always a loss, and loss is hard, and change, no matter how beautiful it is challenging. It involves a lot and takes a lot of energy, and you have to really want to do it in order to move past the momentum of or the pull to stay where you are and to keep it and to keep it going as it is.
How did your audience react to the news?
Some of them were very sad and indicated that, you know, this is a huge loss for them and that they had really grown and it was something they looked forward to every week and that it was a healing process for them. You know, there were groups that I could see, clusters of groups in certain cities where the number was pretty consistent every week, which meant that there were groups of people who were listening, and maybe there was a leader who was facilitating a discussion afterwards and taking what had happened in the show and helping it that way. I don't know. I'm assuming that was the case because there was this consistency in the statistics that were showing up for years in certain areas of the country and in the world, in certain cities. So there was a huge loss for people. But I've also been monitoring the statistics since I ended the show the first week in August. And there are still high numbers in certain areas and across the country and the world. And people are listening to old shows that are on demand that maybe they started their group after the show, or as you know, you listen to something again and you get more depth. You hear things you didn't hear the first time, or you've grown in the 5 years since you heard that show. So it's like hearing a new show because you're a new person. And you're listening with new ears. And so it touched me greatly that, you know, people were anticipating the loss but have found ways to continue their growth using the show, continuing to use the 400-plus episodes. And I also had some beautiful comments from publishers, publicists, and guests who became listeners, and guests like yourself who were one of the last guests to be on the show, who expressed in writing to me their feelings of loss and that, you know, how much the show had meant to them and knowing that it had meant a lot to listeners. So I was very gratified. It really boosted my self-esteem. It really did to read all of these messages that I got from people who were so loving and so supportive and so kind.
Wow. Something for you to hang on to then.
Absolutely, and I saved most of them. Maybe I saved all of them, if the truth be told.
Well, I promised that we would talk about squirrels, and one of the fun times we had was when I told you this frustrating story about my squirrels and how I was painting their little backsides fuchsia when I was trapping them and rehoming them, and you told me a story about your squirrels. So we had a great deal of time. I think you even told my story or quoted me on the air, and we had some fun. So you talked to your squirrels. You had a little squirrel meeting. Tell me about your squirrel.
Yes, my squirrel became a problem. It started out as such a loving, beautiful thing. We bonded when he was a little baby, and when it was pouring rain, he would come to my patio and sit under my covered porch, and he would seek shelter. He'd sprawl out on my chaise lounge and be very happy. He'd go to sleep. He was home, and he was safe. But then he got bigger, and he started jumping on my hummingbird feeder, and it became his territory, and he started dislodging it. So my hummingbirds couldn't use the feeder, and he was eating all my bird seed and destroying my bird feeder and digging up my plants. And it was like, wait a minute, this is not your house, this is my territory. So I talked to him with absolutely no results. He would look me eye to eye, listen to everything I had to say, and go off and do exactly what he wanted to do.
Of course.
He would even be malicious about it. He'd look at me. He'd know I was watching him, and then he'd take a dive for the hummingbird feeder. So eventually, I did several rituals with candles and prayers to spiritual beings like St. Francis of Assisi to intervene with the squirrel and to help guide him somewhere else where he could eat and be happy and safe, but not to destroy my joy and my property. It took 2 years. It took new bird seed and 2 years before bird seed that squirrels don't like, and 2 years of rituals before he finally got the message and began to respect my property. He would still come back periodically to be destructive, and he and I would have a conversation. I would call in my guides to work with him, and eventually now we have a friendly relationship. I see him. He's allowed to come on my patio, but he is not allowed to jump on my hummingbird feeder or eat my plants.
Well, yeah, I mean, the poor little guy, he's up against St. Francis of Assisi. I mean, come on, that's a pretty strong competition. But, yes, life is a lot of fun. It's very intense. You had this wonderful show with a lot of important information. And I want to know where you're going to be, Dr. Paula, a year from now. So I want to invite you back on the show next year at this time, and we'll find out what you've done, where you've been, and how much trouble you've stirred up in the meantime. I am sure that you will be doing some wonderful, effective healing. And I want to, we're just about to hand the show back over to our producer, Hercules, and I would like to just let you have the last word Well, first I'll say this. Paula Joyce can be found at paulajoyce.com, where you can listen to 400 of her past shows and contact her directly if you wish. PaulaJoyce.com. Paula, take the wrap out. Lead us out. Tell us what matters to you, what matters to the world, and your last thoughts.
Well, just that I'm just so grateful. I'm grateful for you and for all of the amazing guests that I had, for the opportunity that I had to grow and to learn. And some of it was painful. Not all of it was beautiful. There were some tough lessons, but they were good lessons because they all helped me grow. And so I have learned not to, when something is challenging, not to assume that it's bad. My worldview used to be always waiting for the next horrible thing and always interpreting everything in the worst way possible, because that was my life. But it's not anymore. And I have learned to be grateful for all of the things, because everything that's happened to me has become a blessing because of the way that I have used it. I have chosen to heal. I have chosen to grow. And the radio show was a beautiful way for me to do that, sometimes publicly, sometimes privately, sometimes one-on-one, sometimes with everybody listening. And yet it all of it was meaningful and helped me become the person I am today. And I am not the person who started that show over 8 years ago, almost 8.5 years now. I am the person who I am happy to be. I love who I am now, and I love the way I continue to evolve, to grow, to heal physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. My body is healing. I'm the happiest, healthiest, most energetic I have been in my entire life, and I am grateful for everything that's happened in my life and everyone who's been in my life, because it's helped me become who I am. And so I look forward to this next phase, to the books I want to write, the new kinds of coaching I want to do to help more people, the workshops, and being on shows like yours, and continuing to help to uplift people's lives and to nourish their spirits in a different way, at the same time that all of my on-demand shows are there, as you said, that made me feel so good. You have such a strong body of work, and that's still helping people and will be for as long as they want to learn and to grow through the work that I did. So I am eternally grateful for all of it.
Well, and we are grateful for you. You have done a great service to this world of ours. And everybody, PaulaJoyce.com is your ticket to learning more about yourself and changing what you want to change and helping the world evolve into the place we all want to live in. Dr. Paula, thank you for your time. I'll talk to you in a year, and thank you so much. Hercules, it's all yours.
Thank you very much, Kat.
Thank you, Hercules.
Thank you, Dr. Paula Joyce. Thank you for an uplifting, joyous, and insightful show. And I'm looking forward to checking out your website.
Thank you.
And thanks to all those who called in tonight or clicked on a link and found themselves here, or who will be joining us later on demand. Until next time, this is all of us wishing all of you joyous journeys and amazing adventures. Good night.
Good night, and thank you.